This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 408, recorded on...
Nine.
409. Did I not update the... It says four... Oh, I didn't do 408.
Yeah.
You covered... See, I keep track in my head, but I didn't do it last week, so that's why. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. Thanks to Chris for hosting RFC last week when I was preparing for Jolanta 2015. This is 409.
Make sure you're looking at the right page of notes.
409. Oh, gosh.
It's right on the notes.
I wasn't looking at the notes. On the show this week, we have Don, Diecast, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Chris, a.k.a. XV, and Rob Clay. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Not bad.
Okay.
For a minute, I thought it was in last week, but, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't die in a Motel 6, so I'm good.
Somehow we survived that. So I think we'll talk a little bit about Jolanta, which is where Diecast, Rob Springer, and I were at this past weekend. In a little more detail later on in the show. And also, our panel, our Transformers panel, will be the episode of RFC Extra, which we'll post on Sunday. Actually, while you're at it, check out all of our other shows. We've been doing something a little different with our... So people ask, hey, what's the name of your website? And I usually say Radio Free Cybertron. It's the name of the podcast... I could say tfradio.net. It's always been confusing. Our tagline's been like the TF Radio Network. What does that mean? Well, you know, now that we're actually producing a bunch of awesome Transformers podcasts, it means that we're the Transformers Internet Radio Network. We actually have all the awesome shows here on tfradio.net, and they are all available on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those places. We are now doing RFC Extra. We're doing John DeLuna is doing the mini cast, which is this really awesome sort of one-on-one podcast that many of these guys have been on. Today we introduced a new Transformers podcast that we've been developing for a while, which is Chris. Tell us about it. What is it?
It's Fanboy versus Transformers, the comic book review podcast, and we started with Transformers number 39.
Yep, and Diecast started the new podcast. Diecast?
Yes.
That's your cue.
What is it, Diecast?
I just wanted to see what he was going to say. I was interested. This new podcast is called There Goes My Money, and we talk about all the latest...
It's Diecast's life experience.
Yes.
We talk about all the latest products up for pre-order.
I thought it was a documentary on my early BotCon years.
Yeah, all your BotCon years, Don, not just your early ones. So what these shows are, they're pretty much a supplement to RFC. So we've always had segments in the show, and editing them into the show is kind of a pain sometimes, and sometimes they don't flow naturally. So what we decided to do was, like all these normal things that would be segments, we're actually breaking them out into their own podcasts, and they're going into the RFC feed. Listen to them if you want to. You should. They're great. But if you still just want to listen to the good old RFC each week, you can. It's still there. It hasn't changed. And but now you have more options. And they're pretty awesome. I'm actually going to be hosting every third or fourth episode of Fanboy versus Transformers. And, of course, that's an homage to our semi-retired – it's Don. A semi-retired Fanboy versus podcast, which was our comic book review podcast hosted by the late great JD Church. So
to say you're going to host every other one's a little misleading. The schedule is based on when the comics come out, and the one you're going to be hosting is very irregular.
Yeah.
Like, we got the June solicitations this morning, and Transformers versus G.I. Joe isn't even on it.
I'll be hosting every 15th. Which is good for you.
At this rate, probably so.
When's the last time one came out?
Actually, last month, but considering, you know...
That was the book schedule for December.
Yeah. Considering Tom Scioli is involved with, like, every step of production himself except possibly milling the paper, it takes a while.
But that man is a whiz when it comes to whipping up bookbinder's glue.
Yeah. But of course, we also still have all our other podcasts, but they're not at in our iTunes feed. We have Superhero Time, and we still have Get the Skinny. So it's pretty awesome. We got a lot of stuff going on. And we might actually have a new wrestling podcast coming up, too, to replace the old one.
For the 2 weeks that one lasts.
We'll see. We'll see. But, and specifically, there was one that I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, Rob Springer's being awesome with Rob Springer. I love Rob Springer. I miss that guy so much. So, yeah, check those out. And some of those are also in video form. Not all of them, but some of them are. And those are on YouTube. So we had a couple of Twitter giveaways the last couple weeks. And the last one was for Combiner Wars Blackjack. And I want to go ahead and announce the winner of that. That one goes to Danny K, who is at DK Rat Trap. Congratulations. I just sent you a message. If you respond back, we'll get that out to you. Congrats on winning Blackjack.
Yeah, it's a great figure.
It's an awesome figure. The next giveaway, actually, will be for Facebook, and I'll post it here in a couple of days, but it's going to be for Combiner Wars Silver Bolt. Right here. Video, you can see it. This was donated by Diecast. And Hasbro. Hasbro gave it to him. But Diecast could have kept it, but he donated it for this. And we love you for it. And he's staring at me awkwardly. So,
You're welcome.
So, again, we're going to talk about Joanna here in a little while. But he gave me that at in the Motel 6. For people who don't remember, during TFCon, Don and I stayed in a Motel 6, and it was the worst experience of our lives. So, or my life, anyway. So, we'll tell you more about that.
Tom Baudet did disappoint me when we were staying there.
Tom Baudet leaves the light on for you, but that's so that people won't steal your car.
I have to say, I have stayed in very nice Motel 6s and all the conventions I've done through the years. That was not one of them.
Neither was the one you were at.
That cat is not leave. No.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So, anybody get anything cool this week? I'll start off. I got a couple of things specifically though I want to mention. One I've been looking for years. I normally mention new stuff. But I've been looking for a frickin' Armada Galvatron for years. And I found one at my favorite store, Retro Reboot, in Pineville, North Carolina, just south of Charlotte. I love it. Love it so much. But something I don't love nearly as much is my leader class Combiner Wars Armada Megatron.
But you were so excited for that!
Until I got it.
It's because you got the wrong one.
Uh-huh.
It's I look at the two figures, and they're both roughly the same size.
Did you look at the two figures? No, because one is clearly better than the other one.
The two figures I'm holding right now, and they're both roughly the same size, roughly the same mass. One's slightly more complex than the other, but the price points that they came out at are completely different, which, you know, it's the economy, but still... much rather have the Armada Galvatron. But yeah, no, this is the only Combiner Wars Megatron that they had. Otherwise, I would have gotten the good one.
Well, you're planning to get that one anyway.
I was going
to
get both, but I came across this one. So I ended up canceling my pre-order. And I'm just going to, once I find G1 Megatron, I'll pick that up. But I'm going to suffer through
this. I saw Armada Megatron in the store. I'm like, no. No. I'm waiting for my order of the G1 Megatron, which I got last week as soon as we finished recording, basically.
That's funny.
I mean, you've heard so instead, I sat down and talked with John DeLuna over the weekend for like an hour about it for a mini-cast. It's not going to be a very mini-cast.
I think I've listened to that one. I think I have it. It was really good. So, you know the old saying, though, a fool and his money are soon parted. So that's what happened with mine, with me. So.
Oh, I thought we were leaning into Diecast getting something.
Hey, yeah, Diecast, what did you get?
Oh, well, I got something, and I didn't really – oh, my God, parts are flying off.
Well, he is old.
He is old, and his parts do come off to apparently form with Optimus Prime. I almost said Megatron there.
Yeah, do that on camera. Do that on camera.
It also came from Retro Reboot, and, you know, Jake was awesome. He helped me, you know, put it together and found pieces, and it's actually complete, which I'm really happy with. It's, I don't say it's a holy grail figure, but it's one of those figures I was like, I don't know why I never picked that up. So
I know why I didn't pick it up, but I'm glad you picked it up.
And actually, you know, having helped transforming those Revenge of the Fallen era Transformers is really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
nothing to be ashamed about, Diecast.
On the way back from Joanta, we got a chance to stop by Retro Reboot, and I love that place. People are in the chat are saying that they wish that they had one, had Retro Reboot near them, and you're darn right you do. So,
because last time I was there, I got this guy. Collector's Club Drift.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Ah, nice.
So yeah, they've expanded their store, and it's like quadrupled in size, literally. So it's pretty awesome. I'm hopefully we'll go back soon.
But I also picked up the RID Warrior Class Optimus Prime, which I put a review up on Facebook, and because Don kept bugging me about the hand fix, I put a video up of the hand fix.
I asked you once if you'd seen it.
You kept bugging him.
And then also Drift and Armada Megatron, which I really like. So
somebody has to.
New videos if you check out the Radio Free Cybertron YouTube page.
Look, Diecast, we all have opinions, and not everybody's are correct. That's all.
It's a good toy.
Now you know how Paladin feels like.
Rob, what did you get? It looks like you got something finally.
Yeah, I got Generations Roadbuster finally. Kmart had it on clearance, so... Well, clearance, it was Mark 22, but they had one of their, like, 20% off things. So, I really like it, despite the fact that almost everything that could go wrong with a Roadbuster went wrong with my Roadbuster.
I can't talk. What went wrong with
wrong?
It? What
went wrong?
Okay, well, you know, half the ratchets are really... way too strong. Half the ratchets were too strong for a minute and then weren't anything at all anymore.
Oh, no.
Some of them started out weak, and then the little handgun is actually not completely molded. You can kind of see where the plastic and mold just trailed off at the barrel of the gun.
Huh. That's...
But all that said, I actually like it. So if you get a good Roadbuster, you know, you're probably in for a really nice toy.
I mean, if you like that piece of crap that you ended up with, think how you'd feel about it if you got a proper one.
I really like it. Seriously. It's a nice toy.
And I will admit, him and World do look good together on the shelf. They do.
Yes, they do.
I failed to mention that Diecast was also able to get me Columpio, finally. I meant to get this a long time ago, but he had an extra. I got it from him. I haven't opened it. I'm afraid to, honestly. But it looks really nice in the package. As a window.
It's really nice. I think you're going to like it.
Pretty excited about that.
They say all the ones after it are better, though.
Yes, I need more caffeine so that I can speak. That's a good point. Let me chug something.
You forgot to mention the other thing that I got you.
Well, he's chugging caffeine, so why don't you mention it?
Yeah, you tell me.
Oh, I got a... It's the Creo Optimus Prime.
Oh, crap. Yeah, forgot about that. Thank you. I was thinking about Razor Claw.
Oh, no. Creo Optimus Prime that... is ready to go skiing, I guess.
Yeah.
The Toy Fair sample, the Toy Fair handout.
Yeah, the Toy Fair handout.
Yep. Pretty awesome. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Man, it's like I haven't posted the podcast in 2 weeks.
You know, when we were recording Superhero Time this week, Mickey had listened to the lead-in for the RFC extra that you recorded at the hotel. He said you sounded really tired.
I was really tired.
He said it made it sound like you're like... Well, we got to deal with these assholes again.
That's kind of what it was like.
Well,
I enjoyed. I seriously enjoyed it, even though I disagree with Hey Mickey like a lot. But in some of the things,
well,
he said.
I disagree with Hey Mickey in some things too. But you know, he's Hey Mickey.
So RFC Extra from this past week, the one that was posted Sunday, was hosted by the crew from Superhero Time, and it was really good. So I would definitely check that out at your own risk. So.
D- Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Okay, let's go ahead and jump.
Enjoy responsibly.
Let's jump into the show. So This Week in History. And thank you to whoever picked this up, picked this out. So 2005, the United States achieves closure on the Energon cartoon when Spark and the Sun premiere back-to-back. With this long national nightmare finally behind them, healing can begin. Yeah.
That was XV.
That series just absolutely sucked.
I did like 90% of this week's show notes, so.
And thank you for that. I rushed home so I could do it because I didn't do it last night. And thank you. Yeah, that's a terrible show.
It was so much more terrible the farther in you went. I mean, we've talked about this many times. The first, like, month's worth of it is pretty okay.
Yeah. The first five episodes I watched weren't bad.
And then after that point, every week is just a little bit worse until you think that it can't get any worse. And then the second half of the series starts.
I hate that it turned me off of Cybertron. I never actually got into Cybertron because of Energon.
Cybertron was pretty okay.
Yeah. I've discovered that. I need to go back and watch it from beginning to end. Kind of regret not doing that, but I will eventually. Right now I'm making it through Parks and Rec, so maybe after Parks and Rec I'll move to Cybertron. But probably not. So yeah, 2005, exactly 10 years ago this week.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. Well, this is just a funny item, and you know.
Yeah, well, if I haven't mentioned this before, I know I have. So This Week in History used to be a JD segment, and we dropped it for a while. But after JD's passing, we brought it back. And the caveat now is each item has to be at least 10 years old. Back when we started doing RFC, there wasn't actually a lot of history that was more than 10 years old. So now it's kind of funny that most everything that's happened is 2/3 of what's happened with Transformers is more than 10 years old now. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the news. So big item for me this week is Robots in Disguise finally debuted in the U.S. on Cartoon Network at 6 o'clock Eastern Saturday evening. Enjoy it at that time slot while it lasted, because it's going to go to, what, 6:30 now on Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I guess everyone at this point has at least watched the first two episodes.
No, yeah. I still haven't seen it.
Okay. It's good. Watch it.
Yeah.
It really is.
We've talked at length about this already.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah.
But not everyone has watched it.
No, I'm just saying, like, if we're not saying much now, it's just because we've kind of already done this.
True. Definitely give it a shot. I really like the look of it. I really like the characters so far. I like the dynamic, and I love what they're doing with the Decepticons. It's a continuation of Prime, but it goes so far on the opposite end of Prime, it's almost like not a continuation of Prime. It's a very loose continuation.
Very loose. The only thing I would say that's a continuation of Prime is now a ghost or dead or however you want to say it.
Spoilers! I'm kidding. Prime
is basically Jaga right now.
Prime is Jaga. He's Ben Kenobi,
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, all that stuff. He's that cliche. But we'll see what happens. So,
Most of Prime's existence can be summed up as he's that cliche. It's just a matter of which cliche you're talking about.
Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
So what's up with these Generation Cyber Series? New simplified G1-esque toys?
What it says on the label.
Yeah, that's all we know at the moment. They supposedly came out of a Brazilian toy catalog. I assume distributor's catalog when you get down to it. But they seem to be showing 7 and 11-inch figures that are mostly G1-ish.
By G1-ish, what do you mean exactly?
Well,
we have pictures. There's pictures.
There are pictures.
So Bumblebee is a Camaro.
He's a Camaro, but with a G1-ish face. So
I can't tell from the photo.
It's kind of like, you know, if you took the IDW Bumblebee figure from 2013 and tinkered with it a little bit, you'd basically get this out of it.
Yeah.
It I guess more than G1, it'd be more fair to say it's a simplified line of classic style figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's
It's interesting that they're putting that under the Generations banner, which is supposed to be the collector oriented line.
Yeah, it's the Generation Cyber series supposedly. Mm-hmm. That's about all. Like,
that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah, they look simple enough to be, you know, in the vein of the scaled up Cyberverse figures. Autobase Aichi, who are the people who first found this, are speculating that maybe that Starscream at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis is part of this line. I think that's possible, but it's just, you know, it's too early to know much of anything at the moment, except here are these pictures of these toys. We don't know anything about where or when or how they're going to be released.
If one of them is that Starscream, I'll at least buy that Starscream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that Megatron's a nice-looking tank. It's kind of whitish-grayish, but it looks like a pretty decent figure.
You mean it's Megatron colors?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's not purple, though. That's the problem.
And all of these borrow from the engineering of previous Legends or Cyberverse figures, which is not always obvious to look at them, but like the Bumblebees borrow from a movie Bumblebee and the Robots in Disguise Legend Bumblebee that's currently out. If that Starscream is from that, if the Starscream part of this too, we've established before, it uses the same engineering as the Generations Legends one we have now. And the Megatron also is supposedly, there's similarities to the G2 Legends Megatron figure from like 5 years ago now.
And the 7-inch Bumblebee on the second page, the one with Grimlock, is very much the Prime Cyberverse Legion figure.
Basically, the only thing here that does not have a direct correlation to something is the Grimlock, just because there has not been an actual Legends Grimlock previously.
Yeah.
But even that probably borrows from something that we can't pick out yet.
And what's up with that head? It's kind of a Dinobot-ish head? I can't, from the photo, maybe?
It's hard to say at this point. It does kind of look Dinobot-ish, but that may be just the effect of the colors.
Yeah. These are interesting. I can't wait to actually to learn more about these.
I'd like to see them. Like, you know, I tend to favor articulation more in these, but that Optimus looks pretty cool.
It does.
It does.
Not bad. Yeah. So, Platinum Series, Seeker Squadron, the Coneheads, they are now available at Asian retail. Yeah. So we knew these were coming. So
what's interesting, though, is the price. Because these were shown.
Oh, that's less.
They were found in Singapore, and the conversion has them at lower prices than the Insecticon set somehow.
That's wacky.
Yeah.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
Unexpected.
Yeah. And, like, the Insecticon price, if anything, the Insecticon price was a little bit lower when they came to the U.S., and hopefully the Seekers will be lower than this equivalent price when they come out here, too.
So where are the Insecticons other than Kmart? Where else can you find them?
Nowhere.
I've yet to see them in any...
Canada. Oh. Toys R Us Canada has them as exclusives. They're probably exclusive to Kmart in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. So I forget, did we get Coneheads as a G1 reissue in the commemorative series?
One.
Yeah, so I might actually need to pick this up.
Just Dirge, wasn't it?
I thought it was Dirge. Hmm.
The other two were reissued, but only came out in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. In the same story at T-Formers with the second set of Cyber 7 series pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Also, new pictures of the Platinum Edition Triple Changers and their odd new color schemes.
Are they still terrible looking?
Blitzwing actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Blitzwing's
kind of pretty.
Yeah.
Astrotrain.
Astrotrain's just weird, man.
Astrotrain is fascinating.
Safety orange and white.
Safety train.
It looks red and blue in the new photo, but it's just...
We were thinking that maybe it would be an orange train, but there's so much white parts on it. It has to be a white train that just has orange parts. It doesn't make any sense.
I can actually see XV's head hurting. Just like,
it doesn't make sense. Why did you put the orange on there?
Yeah, well, I know.
Is that Glass Thomas the Tank Engine?
My brain just shuts off.
Yeah,
it's just I'm like, okay.
It's one. I think that's one of those pieces. A lot of people, if the set ever goes on clearance or goes down to the point where they can get Blitzwing and have Astrotrain kind of like a bonus kind of thing. Because I mean, the Blitzwing does look good, but having the Astro on your shelf is asking like, what are you supposed to be?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, though, if they took that deco and put it on Generations Blitzwing, I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
Note to self, don't read Twitter while trying to host a podcast.
Don, stop looking like that. I like Blitzwing.
No, what?
I always want to say that Blitzwing is punishing, but that's Dreadwing, so...
Right. Blitzwing wasn't anything because Blitzwing didn't have a G2 toy until now.
He should have.
Until now,
Well, I'm not saying anything about Blitzwing because I bought the Double Dealer version just for the colors in the robot.
I have both.
I didn't buy Double Dealer.
I would have got Double Dealer if I could have found one of the $10 ones at TJ Maxx.
Speaking of the TJ Maxx, we had no luck with Brainstorm.
Oh.
Yeah.
We went into a TJ Maxx that apparently didn't even have toys.
Oh, that was disappointing.
Tragic. Well,
we drove all the way across town in Atlanta.
Oh.
To go to TJ Maxx, and it didn't even freaking have toys. But it was
I've never seen one of those that didn't have toys.
It didn't.
Well, I was able to use the Hasbro Toy Shop coupon code and got Storm for the same price.
Nice. Is it the corrected version?
It's supposed to be, because when it came in...
Does it work well is the point, though. I guess not.
Kind of.
That's where mine was too. It's not as severe as a lot of people have reported, but
yeah,
I guess it's not as good as the one I got though.
Yeah, according to what I've been told, mine had the head rubber banded down, and that's supposed to be the fixed version. But it took everything I had to press this gray thing down enough to get the head to pop out. So I am fearful of transforming him.
Once I popped it out, I actually filed the socket out a little bit.
That's a bad idea. That's a good idea.
That's what.
Yeah, take the layer of paint off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it'll be better. But on the other hand, you're not missing much by not transforming that.
Yeah,
it's a very simple toy.
Yeah. It's a very simple toy, and it's not even the best looking vehicle mode.
Yeah, I wish it had kept the four wings from the IDW model. That would have been nice.
Still the best. Still the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
hey, I like my Hasbro Brainstorm just fine, but yeah.
I like my Hasbro Brainstorm too, but I will give...
His head doesn't come off and he stays in robot mode.
You know, I will hand it to Diecast, though, for pointing it out, you know, that the Smart Robin has a more interesting transformation and a better looking vehicle.
It has a very interesting transformation, but after doing it once or twice, I'm not compelled to do it again.
And the head comes out really easy.
That's true.
And it doesn't fall out, so it's not like it's too loose. It's
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, so China.
So I guess you could say it's head and shoulders above the Hasbro version.
So anyway,
you could, or you could say that hey, G2 Nacelle, G2 Starscream and Nacelle actually showed up on a Chinese auction site, and boy, I actually believe it or not, I feel bad now that I didn't pre-order or didn't order the subscription service 3.0.
You're why we can't have nice things, Kilby.
I know.
You're why we keep getting secrets, Kilby.
No, I'm why you can't have nice things because I did pre-order the subscription. More seekers!
I
need more seekers.
I don't really think of myself as having a seeker fetish, but I'm like, well, I've got that one. Oh my god, I think I've got them all. So, so I've got everything but the BotCon set. I didn't. I skipped it. But yeah, this I really, really, really like Nacelle. I hate myself for that, but I really do.
Well, it's nice seeing a completely out of the blue new design, something new on that. You know.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of looks like oh gosh, what was it? Optimus.
Prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd actually look Prime. Really good next to that Platinum Astro Train. They would complement each other.
They
nicely.
Would. It's not bad looking, and I don't have it, so.
I wonder if somewhere in the depths of Hasbro, there's like an early Astro Train catalog photo like there was for this.
I want that G2 Sandstorm now, or the whatever it was.
Yeah, the Sandstorm.
I'll have to admit, I do kind of like the way that nacelle looks. I mean, G2 Starscream wasn't much different than regular Starscream. It just wasn't a big of a departure.
He's orange, though. I like the orange on him.
Yeah.
I do, too. I honestly like the looks of it. I kind of hate that I didn't get it. I still can, I guess.
While I'm making random connections to things, you know who G2 Starscream's color scheme reminds me of?
Jaxus?
Alpha Bravo.
Ah, I can see that. It's a little different orange.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Starscream's orange was more on the red scale.
It is.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's not bad.
Interesting.
Oh, speaking of Alpha Bravo, I just want to mention, I don't know that we mentioned it before, but Brickinator, who's on the podcast, the Fanboy vs. Transformers, did that Photoshop that's all over the internet of Alpha Bravo in the G1 cartoon. That's a great Photoshop.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. So, so you have that there. Is it IO9? I think it was IO9 doing an interview.
Topless Robot.
All those sites just run together for me.
Yeah.
They have a series of interviews with Transformers Movie cast and crew with new details about the making of the animated film. After reading that one, I think that Flint Dilly did a year or so back at Todd McCarthy. I'm friends with him on Twitter, but I can't remember the actual last name. I don't really know that there are any more details that I really care about. Like, anything interesting? Because I haven't read these. Todd Matthey.
I hadn't heard that particular interview. Before this, I had not known that Steve Gerber was basically an uncredited co-writer on the Transformers the Movie script that Dilly did.
That's interesting. Now, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah. Also, he was telling a story about how they were basically racking their brains how to stage the death of Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And one of Gerber's comic friends said, well, have you ever heard of the 300 Spartans? Do it like that. Of course, Frank Miller.
I'm trying to think, because I've read 300 a few times, so what's the connection to 300?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what, you know, he didn't go into a lot of detail as to what the connection was, and since there are a lot of versions of that story, I'm not sure what the specific connection is.
Yeah.
Given that the context had it, like, you know, their concept was to have it be like, you know, an Alamo situation. And then the counterpoint was, have you ever heard of the Spartans? Probably just like the, you know, the violence of the death.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that.
And the overwhelming number of Decepticons, you know, fighting the outnumbered Autobots, yeah.
Really, the point to take away from this, though, is that Frank Miller killed Optimus Prime.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Horribly.
Yeah. Well, Frank Miller, I mean.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, wait. Transformers the Movie was in 1986. 300 came years after that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So Frank Miller had nothing to do with it.
Well, it's a story. I think he'd even referenced it in some of his other work by then. It was his pet project for many years.
Oh, yeah. That was his dream project.
Yeah.
And he really wanted to do it. I always thought that is earlier Frank Miller, but I think that came out in the 90s. Late
90s. It did.
Yeah. And I liked it so much better in the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That happens a lot, especially with Zack Snyder movies.
This is Sparta. He just whispers it. He doesn't yell it.
He just says it matter-of-factly. Yeah. That's the way I always interpreted it.
Well, it's like after the courier is already in the pit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I love Frank. I really do love Frank Miller, even though he's crazy. So new details. I haven't read them yet, so. Sad news, Auto Assembly 2015 is going to be the last year of Auto Assembly.
Yeah.
So Simon is apparently just ending it. Due to personal reasons, right?
He's retiring.
How old is Simon?
He's been volunteering with cons since 1989.
Oh, so. I assumed he was our age. Okay. I've never met him. I've never been to Auto Assembly, so.
Oh, he might have started that young, but I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably a little younger than Don.
Okay.
Yeah, the article stated that he and all the other people that that helped him put it on are starting to age out of putting these things together. So
I totally understand. Don, what did you just down? What was that?
Diet Sierra Mist.
Okay. That just looked impressive. I didn't know what it was.
Nothing good.
I don't like Sierra Mist either. Apologies
if diet.
Apologies to anyone out there who actually might work for Pepsi.
Well, plus I had a coupon.
I'm really disappointed about Auto Assembly because I actually wanted to go to that one.
Yeah, I did too. But that was
I totally see the appeal. There's no way I could travel across the ocean to go to Auto Assembly.
That'd be the one trip I would take just to go to Europe and try to do whatever.
If I'm going to Europe, I'm not going for Auto Assembly. No offense, Auto Assembly.
Yes.
Well, it's okay, because pretty soon you won't have to make the choice.
I mean, like, there's so much history in Europe. I think I could skip Auto Assembly. But it's really unfortunate that it's ending, because the people who go to Auto Assembly love Auto Assembly. Mm-hmm.
You know, especially a lot of our friends like Chris McFeely and
Amy.
Lady Wreck. Yeah,
it's almost like a religion. It's there. People are so into that. So hate that for them.
So. But there's another convention that's they can go to
if they travel across the ocean.
Oh, so this is a segue. So TFCon USA is now it's been announced, and it's in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's in coordination with some of the guys from Shardicon. So our friend Dave, who does Audio Nights Theater, amongst other things, he was telling us that he wanted to speak with Colin, the organizer of TFCon back at TFCon USA, about maybe teaming up. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, I'm sure he'll jump on that. You know, I didn't honestly think that anything would come of it. Well, shows me. never underestimate Dave. That guy is the man. I love that guy. He and Eric have been in talks, and it looks like it's going to happen. It's October 16th through 18th. It says Charlotte, but it's really Concord. That's outside of Charlotte. It's a suburb.
But it's not the same way that BotCon is in Chicago, but not Chicago, right?
I'd say it's about 30 minutes. So Concord, depending on time of year, it's probably 30 minutes out of Charlotte.
So it's similarly finger quotey in terms of being part of that city.
But not near as much.
No.
Like, and any time of the year, you'll be doing an hour easy from Chicago to BotCon.
The main difference is like the airport and everything is easily accessible from that place.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's very much in the Charlotte metro area.
Yeah, and of course we're going to invite everybody down here, because in North Carolina we have the best barbecue, we have Bojangles, and we have Cheerwine.
I took Diecast to Bojangles. He wasn't crazy about it.
Well, then he's wrong.
I've gone to Bojangles. We have Bojangles around here. I don't like Bojangles.
Well, then you're both wrong.
Yeah.
I don't like Cookout, though.
Okay, that helps. That does help.
If it was just Diecast, I would say, yeah, he's just wrong. But since I'm saying it, then there's some actual credibility here.
Yeah. That's true.
So now I just got to get XP to agree with everything I say, and I'll be good.
As much as I hate to agree with Diecast on anything, yeah, Bojangles is not great.
I love Bojangles. Okay, so
it's not that great.
And
I have not been to one since they left Maryland like 20 years ago, so.
Well, what'd you think of it then?
I liked it, but I was small, so, you know, you like a lot of dumb things when you're small. I can't say one way or the other.
I don't want to go too far into the Joanna discussion, but I think of all the meals that Diecast and I had with each other, at least five of my meals involved gravy.
And which is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, okay, but yeah, so not Chartercon. TFCon is going to be in Charlotte in coordination with, again, some of the folks from Shardicon. We love Shardicon. All of us went, except for Don, who was the second closest to the convention.
Don wasn't there. Triplet wasn't there. The two people out of anybody who should have been there.
Yeah, no.
I could not get off work.
I know, Don. I'm giving you crap.
Do you think we can get Triplett to this one?
I bet he wants to go.
There's no reason. Okay, I'm going to this one. There is no reason Triplett, who lives an hour closer than I do.
Wait. Don.
Triplett's a hermit.
That's true.
Don. Like, to get from where you live to Charlotte, do you have to go near where Triplett lives?
No.
If I go to riding with Brian, yes.
No, there is a reason I'm getting to that. Don, you need to go and kidnap Triplett.
Oh, yeah. But basically, Don...
Like, you're big enough to do it.
Don just needs to get on 85 and stay on 85, and he's there. He doesn't even need to come anywhere near me.
Like, Don, you know,
don't come near me, Don.
You know, the Triplett's doorbell will ring, he'll open the door, Don will just grab him and throw him over his shoulder and go back to the car and just drive him to Charlotte.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or I could just take Massey on him.
Yeah.
But Massey doesn't attack anybody who's not you. That's kind of a bad plan.
Yeah, that'd just backfire. I mean,
yeah.
But we're looking forward. I think most of us, or all of us, are going to definitely try to do that. Yeah. I know Rob Springer's going to do that. I think Rob's actually opting to do this now instead of BotCon, so...
Shorter trip.
A little bummed about it, but because we were all going to be at BotCon. So now it looks just like most of us will be at BotCon.
Way to ruin it, Rob Springer.
Thanks, Rob Springer. Thank you, Rob Springer, for ruining BotCon.
At this moment, you are not awesome.
Oh, okay. Challenge of the GoBots Volume 2 available on DVD, and it features that RoboForce special. I forgot who it was. I guess it was Crazy Steve, or it might have been somebody else, notified us about this a few weeks ago that this was on the horizon. So I would pick that up.
I wonder if there's a place you could order that from.
Thank you. Hey, you could get that from Amazon. You could go to our website, go to tfradio.net, and click on the little Amazon logo, and it'll take you there. Won't cost you any more, and a few cents will go our way. It's pretty awesome. I love it. It helps us out. It's the easiest, simplest, best way to help us financially. It helps keep this podcast afloat. Now we have a lot of podcasts, so...
We need more help.
Yeah, we need more help, so... Or you can go to tfradio.net/Amazon. And thank you so much to everybody who's doing this. I don't say that enough. People are like, helping us out quite a bit with this, and it's great. You should join them. TFRadio.net, click on Amazon. There you go.
And not only is that a good place to look for, the animated guidebook that we talked about a few weeks ago, there's some Combiner Wars showing up there. No matter what you're looking for, GoBots, Transformers.
Yeah.
If you want to learn how to give a prostate exam, they have products to help you do that.
They do that. Okay. So I feel dirty now. TFRadio.net/Amazon. So Make Toys Hellfire, Masterpiece Style, not Inferno. Oh, man, it looks nice.
It looks really nice.
It looks really
Make
nice.
Make Toys is going out with their Masterpiece
mode. I like the robot mode, but the fire truck mode looks a whole lot like a folded up robot.
So it looked like Inferno.
Yeah.
So maybe it's 2G1 and not enough Masterpiece?
Yeah.
Possibly so.
I think there's something to that effect in the T-Formers post, even. Yeah, I didn't
see that.
No, it's okay. I'm more amused that we're all kind of thinking the same thing, looking at that. Original Art Fire always looked really bad to me for how the colors break down and what G1 Inferno's vehicle mode looks like, and while I think that Deco would look good on this robot, I can't help but think that when it gets to the truck mode again, it's going to look pretty terrible. Inferno would look good in color, though.
But if you're the kind of person who just displays them in robot mode, this looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Now,
99% of my stuff is displayed in robot mode.
It takes up less space. I mean,
yeah. Now, vehicle
mode's good for packing them away.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully they'll do this, and I mean, nothing wrong with the Lawson Artfire that came out 2 years ago, but if they recolor this as Artfire, that might also be a nice way to get a a representation of the character a lot cheaper than the original G1 version.
Which you have done.
Yes.
Just casually lying about somewhere in your apartment.
Don's actually got a killer collection. I love it.
Actually, it's behind a couple of boxes. It's on display, but it's got some boxes in front of it blocking the sun, so it doesn't fade. Hopefully so it doesn't fade, because I don't want that to fade.
So the
Don, have you ever thought about doing getting a pretty decent camera and doing like a photographic catalog of your entire collection? I think there are people who would like to see that.
I would like to see that.
Don, at some point, I need to come to your house, apartment anyway, till we could record some reviews and stuff. We could do that. I could bring my D5300, and we could take photos.
And video with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when it's got to the point where I'm pulling boxes out of the closet to find stuff to sell, I don't remember buying it.
Oh, I'm finding myself with that right now. I'll buy something. Oh, I've been looking for this forever. I get home, and I already have it. So.
I haven't gotten quite that bad yet, but it's like, you know, I found some Exosquad stuff that I had forgotten. Ooh. I had, and it was like,
nice,
sweet.
Yeah, so I'm definitely.
I mean, it's Exosquad. By default, it's going to be awesome already.
Yeah.
So, new Warbitron, X-ray and gun set. So this is a micro little itty bitty shockwave.
Yeah, it's a little shockwave figure to be the gun for Warbitron Bruticus. Yeah.
And it's the thing we were all thinking was going to be free with their not Onslaught. Yeah. And now they're just like, we're going to charge for it.
Yeah. But why give it away for free when they can sell it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I believe Diecast and I are the only ones really trying to get the Warbitron set, because I just picked up a Whirlwind this week. And
they look really nice, but they're also really expensive. So,
well, yeah, the problem is there's not many characters that I want all the incarnations of. I don't really have that problem except for Bruticus. He's my favorite U.S. combiner.
And I hope they repaint that into Battle Gaia.
And Ruination.
And G2 colors.
And yeah. I hope both of y'all can go take a long walk off a short pier.
Sorry, Don, we don't have any piers around here.
Yeah, I'm landlocked, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. I try not to go toward the ocean. I don't wanna, can't swim. So, yeah, so that's the third-party stuff that we have.
He'll be afraid of getting within 100 miles of the ocean in case he falls in.
Yeah.
And it's on screws, too.
He has that problem with toilets also.
No, not usually. Hey, let's see here. So, Rob, what else is on T-Formers this week?
Okay, this week we have got the Japanese opening and ending to Transformers Adventure, which is such a better name than Robots in Disguise.
Yeah.
We've also got Singapore Toys R Us are giving out special sticker sheets for Combiner Wars Superion and Menasor that have a lot of, you know, details and, you know, G1-ish details that you can apply to the Aerialbots and Stunicons. I really kind of want to see pictures of the figures done up with these stickers, just to see how it looks.
Yeah, I love these figures, but they could definitely use some stickers.
Yeah.
I heard before we started the show that Robot Kingdom might be looking into distributing these somehow.
Sweet.
Probably
cool.
Like, you know, spend X amount of money and we'll throw in a sheet for you while we have them.
That's awesome. Temptation.
Spend X amount of money, pay double the price for shipping, and voila, you have a sticker sheet.
Well, see, welcome to international shipping, Diecast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's one thing I wish. That's one thing I always liked about Japan, to a degree, is they have these in-store offers. You buy so many Transformers, you get a Micron Legend or a Minicon. I'm just saying, we don't get that kind of stuff in the U.S. And it'd be nice to have. I mean, we don't even have. I mean, we've all got robot points on stuff we can't use because they haven't done anything with robot points in forever. I just missed the days when you could get like a Melloway figure, and it was something just a little like Omnibots. Heck, they could reissue Omnibots in a three pack. That's,
you know, what this sounds like, Don. This sounds like a mini cast.
Well, and no, but see, like, they would reissue the Omnibot, but it'd be a Platinum Series thing, and they'd be $150.
I'll be honest.
And in weird colors.
Yeah, yes, it's true.
So we've also got this week, XV's got two more reviews up. Takara Legends Wind Blade, which is much closer to Sarah Stone's artwork than the domestic version, and
it's
Cloud Rodimus, which is... Yes, and speaking of pretty, Cloud Rodimus.
Yeah.
Which is just the best figure ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
In comics, we've got... I reviewed Angry Birds Transformers number 4, which, you know, will not change your life, but is not... It's a kid's comic that was not, you know, done... Nobody's just there for the paycheck. They're obviously paying attention and trying to do a fun comic for kids, and I appreciate that. And, of course, the first chapter of Combiner Wars, which the Transformers number 39, which we have a podcast for.
Heck yeah. Fanboy versus Transformers, episode 1.
Also on YouTube.
Yes.
Also on YouTube. Pretty sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks, Rob.
Sure.
So, Diecast, let's just quickly talk about some of the things that we saw at Joanna this weekend. First, I want to point out our panel will be posted Sunday evening, probably about 6 Eastern-ish time. Our topic was how to collect Transformers, and we were joined by, of course, Rob Springer and Dusty Griffin, who he was an illustrator on the Robotech comic back in the 90s. And he's done some official Transformers work as well. And while we were there, Crazy Steve actually made a point to interview him for his podcast. So Crazy Steve loves Robotech. So, but yeah. So man. I guess I'll just give my thoughts since I was there last year. I thought this convention was much better than last year's. Not that last year's was bad exactly, but. This was last year. There's a lot of focus on The Walking Dead. It's technically a G.I. Joe convention and a general toy convention, primarily G.I. Joe. But there was so much Walking Dead stuff last year that it was kind of like, I don't care about The Walking Dead, so it was a little off-putting. But this year, more focused on G.I. Joe and then some of the other toy lines had quite a bit of visibility there as well. The dealer rooms, Diecast. What did you think about the dealer rooms? They weren't bad.
No, they weren't bad. I mean, they had a decent amount of retro stuff, I guess you could say. A lot of Joe stuff, of course, because you know it's Joe Con.
Mostly 12 inch.
A little bit of Transformer stuff, and
Pappy's collectibles was there.
Yeah, and. You know, some other random stuff like the Inhumanoids we saw and the...
carded Inhumanoids. I did see those.
Yeah.
I forgot about those.
Some Power Ranger stuff. So, you know, your normal wide variety of 20-something-year-old shows.
It is definitely a toy convention, so you'll see stuff that's not just, like, stuff you wouldn't normally see at just a comic convention. So there was toy lines, like, from the 70s I'd never heard of before. So there's this, like, Karate Master, like, almost like Rock'em Sock'em Robot sort of 12-inch toy line thing that was crazy that this one table had. But they also had, like, $6 Million Man stuff, and I couldn't help but think of 40-Year-Old Virgin when I saw that. gosh. So one of the coolest things, so you go to a convention and oftentimes you'll see vehicles that are decked out like famous vehicles, like Diecast drives Bumblebee Camaro.
Did somebody have their car made up as a Defiant?
Somebody had their F-150 done up in Tiger Force colors.
It was really nice.
It was fantastic. Amazing.
And yeah. my favorite part was it had all the decals on it that the toy had. So, like, above the tires, above the wheel well, it said, like, no step. Then on the back of it, where the Eve thing is, where you can stand on it, says step. And the exhaust says, above the exhaust says, like, caution.
Yeah.
But the detailing on it was so nice. It was obvious that somebody just didn't freehand the thing. It looked professional. I mean, it looked like the thing came that way. It was gorgeous. I wanted that so bad. So, let's see here. So, you know, the Transformers panel was pretty great. But that's the only panel other than a Walking Dead panel that I attended. I wasn't too crazy about The Walking Dead, but Rob's girlfriend, Kristen, really wanted to go to that, so I wanted to hang out with them. The two things I really enjoyed most about the convention, though, I really diecast didn't, but a lot of times these will have film festivals where people like produce fan films and stuff. And of course, everybody knows that G.I. Joe fans like producing stop motion G.I. Joe animated films. We watched a couple, but one that we watched was this 40s era sort of detective story, and it was really good for what it was.
Done in stop motion?
It done in stop motion.
Cool.
And it was really good. I want to find it on YouTube after the show. I probably will. And one thing I regret not going to last year, apparently there's this local band there that plays Jolanta every year, and they were a lot of fun. Hmm. They were called, Ra-Adon Radio Cult?
I wasn't there.
I called Diecast Don. I'm sorry, Diecast.
You should apologize to Don, too.
I'm sorry, yeah? Don. Yeah.
I'm not actually sure what their name was.
I think it was Radio Cult.
Yeah. Cole Slither.
Yeah. They should have done that. They mostly did covers, but like the attendees skew a little older because it's 12-inch fans. So watching the older guys get crazy and drunk and go up on the stage and air guitar for like 10 minutes was pretty awesome. I got to admit.
Yeah.
I got to admit that was great.
Now I would love to see a live band do the G.I. Joe movie opening. I know it's just a regular song, but it's just with the lights and some balloons and a flag. It's just
the Cybertronic Spree does like Transformer stuff. Why isn't there somebody that would do like G.I. Joe stuff? I bet there is. We just aren't in the know enough to be aware of it. I mean, like covering Cold Slither and covering that. I mean, I'm certain somebody probably has. But, I mean, I enjoyed myself. I was a little iffy on going back this year because last year I didn't have a great experience. But now I can say I would totally go back.
And you forgot about the G.I. Joe drop because that was awesome.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it. You actually participated.
Yeah, Rob and I actually participated. We were like little kids going up the elevator to the 15th floor to throw down G.I. Joes. And like, when you go there, it's a whole different experience because they're not throwing 3.5 or 3.75 figures off. They're throwing 12-inch figures off with parachutes on them from the 15th floor. So they go down and they're going into other floors if they veer off, or they're hitting like flower pots.
It's
or
a parachute
lights.
Drop. I think I just want to make sure that, like you said, G.I. Joe drop, which I think most people know what that is, but some people don't know that G.I. Joe figures actually some of them have parachutes and they work. And this was what, a 15-story hotel?
15 stories, and the center was hollow, so it was just like it was a triangle basically, and. It kind of was a G.I. Joe drop because not all
not
the parachutes opened. So you would have a 12-inch figure going 15, you know, floors down and then hit the ground and just explode.
Shattered, yeah. Some of them, though, would go into the elevator shaft and the elevator would no longer be in service for a couple of hours while they retrieved the figures. But the thing is, it was a lot of fun, and it was way more fun this year than last year. I think mostly because there were more people this year, it seemed like, than last year.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of people. I wouldn't say that I built any lasting relationships with anybody because usually, like at a Transformers convention, I can at least know who somebody is or somebody can know who – might know who we are and get in touch. But – so mostly this year is like meeting people in passing, but they're really nice people. I really dig the vibe the Joe fandom has going on right now, at least at those conventions, because it reminds me a lot of early BotCons. You know, BotCon now, it almost but not quite is like a slice of like normal people. But Don, you've been there. You know what it was like back in the day when it was kind of a freak show.
You know,
I like this transition. Kilby says that BotCon's like a slice of normal people, but Don.
But no, back.
You remember when it was a bunch of freaks?
Back in the day, it was much more the stereotypical internet nerd sort of thing. That you know.
Well, it was because the pop culture. Being a geek or being a nerd was not as acceptable in society then as it is now.
It's only been like 15 years ago, but you're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't have Avengers movies. We didn't have Iron Man. We didn't have Robert Downey Jr. being one of the most popular superhero characters of all time. You know, and this was the first time this niche had any convention representation. So you got a lot of stereotypical people. But that's the cool thing about BotCon is it becomes a more normalized convention as time goes by because the surrounding culture becomes more normalized.
But of course, back then, we were a lot younger, the Transformers fans, and we were a lot stranger. Now we've gotten older, and it's more homogenized, it's more genericized, more generic, normal people. But it's a Joe thing, like, they're older, and they're just, like, letting it all out. It's kind of crazy and awesome, and I really actually did enjoy that. Not that that's everyone there, by any stretch. But it's a higher percentage of folks like that than, like, I'm one of those folks. I mean, I totally own up to that.
Well, I'll put it like this, Brian. Back in the day, you got a lot of strange looks when you were running through Chicago O'Hare trying to meet. Now, this is just a hypothetical thing. If you're running through Chicago O'Hare trying to get your flight, carrying Star Saber, Victory Leo, and a few other Japanese Transformers because they won't fit in your suitcase.
And then Don gets hung up on.
and then you do get some strange looks. Nowadays, probably not as bad.
Yeah.
But again, that's a hypothetical situation that could happen to anybody.
But
no, the look you get those days would right. be, I know what those are worth, and if he turns his back on them.
But I mean, I really enjoyed it. Diecast, what were your thoughts? I mean, you actually flew in for this, so would you go back?
Yeah, I mean, if I had there's a lot
if
of conventions
I had
to go to, so, like, TFCon is probably on my list before this, but it was a good time, and it was, you know, the dioramas were really neat, too. I mean, that's something we didn't talk about. Like, the way to relate to Transformers, it's like a Transformers customization class. Only they're customizing these dolls and dressing them up.
Action figures.
Yeah, 12-inch action
they're
figures.
Dolls.
They're dolls.
Yeah.
I mean, Transformers has that too. Like, you have things like at BotCon.
Yeah,
you have
Titan Class.
No, Don, you know what I'm talking about. Like the what's that room called? Is it the custom room? What do they call it?
Yeah,
I've never actually done that, Brian.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where people will create custom Transformers, they'll create dioramas, just like the G.I. Joe fans do. But I think
they were really good.
The Joe fans have been doing it longer, so
I mean, their toy of choice is better scaled in both 12-inch and 3 3/4 to do dioramas with, because you can use model Twain, model Twains.
Don has a case of whatever I have tonight.
So, I mean, you know, you can get stuff to make these elaborate dioramas with Transformers and also scale. With G.I. Joe, everything's in scale with each other to a degree, mm-hmm. so you can build around that. With Transformers, I have a friend that does this with Transformers, but he has to Photoshop certain things and shrink certain things and enlarge certain things, and you don't get the epic scale because you can see how all the stuff has been forced into alignment.
And I think the biggest advantage that G.I. Joe has is that the base figure they're using, the 12-inch figures, they are customizable.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can take the clothes off, you can give them new accessories, you can put on new clothes. I mean, you can give them new heads. There are so many accessories available for them. You can do pretty much anything. If you want, like, the first one I took a photo of, which was still my favorite, was that Breaking Bad diorama. Looked exactly like the characters, and it was pretty great. They did a really good job.
Yeah,
I mean, I was getting catalogs with like custom stuff for 1/6 GI Joes back in like 1992.
Yeah,
so they've been at this a while.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. But yeah, I probably would go back. I probably wouldn't if I didn't have a panel. But we'll see if we're invited back for that. Man, gosh, I need sleep. So anybody have anything else? No, good. I'm going to bed. So
Night, everybody.
Good night.
So, for the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. We will see you next week. Check out the first episode of Transformers, Fanboy vs. Transformers, episode one, posted today. And There Goes My Money, episode one, which posted yesterday.
Look, we've got a lot of podcasts coming out during the week, so just, you know, keep refreshing.
I should sleep. And we're your full-service Transformers podcast, tfradio.net.
/Amazon.
/tfradio.net. You should subscribe. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
He put himself to sleep.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.